All right. Good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful, yes, I said beautiful, June 22nd, 2019. Maybe not so beautiful, but pleasure to have in studio is Woody Lashin. How you doing, Woody?
I got a face for radio, my friend. Face for radio.
Oh, man. It's always great to see you. It's a pleasure to have you in. How's everything going?
Oh, it's going great. Beautiful day today. It's been kind of a rainy week, so it's nice to have to see the sun shining.
I'm happy for the weekend warriors who are going to be able to go out and play and enjoy the weekend. You know, it's a big weekend, is an important couple of days for the golf on Long Island, where people are working 9 to 5 and, you know, grinding on the LIE and you know, now they're
they want to be grinding out there over a 4-footer.
Exactly. But it was a pretty ugly week. It's been a pretty rainy season for this spring.
It's been quite rainy golf season.
Just looking forward to I'll be looking forward to getting out there this weekend myself. How about you?
Maybe tomorrow. We'll see.
Yeah. Looking forward to a great show today. We got Chris Voschel from Mizuno on, someone you've known for quite some time. That should be a pretty interesting show. I wanted to give a little shout out to someone that you're familiar with, Keegan Bradley. Little T2 right now at the Travelers at -9. He's a guy that you've known for quite some time as well.
He's nice to see him playing well again this year.
Yeah,
he's had some good rounds. I would expect to see maybe something good out of him this weekend.
Yeah, he's you know, he's had a bit of a resurgence. You know, people forget, you know, these guys are normal guys and they have life changing events. He's gotten married. He's had a kid.
And it's really hard out there.
And it's really it really is. I mean, people don't realize, you know, the razor's edge that it is out there, and it's a razor's edge.
You know, you talk about how close it is. Look at Gary Woodland. I mean,
yeah,
the guy is what, 35 years old.
Yeah,
he's been around for a while, and all of a sudden, it finally to win his first major at 35.
Yeah, I mean, look how long it took Phil to win a major. I mean, you know, Phil won a bunch of tournaments to begin with, but Gary's been, first of all, I think it was just nice. I tweeted out, you know, good things happen to good people, and he seems like he's genuinely, you can always tell the good guys because of how many guys celebrate the people, you know, his win, you know, a lot of his colleagues and fellow players and tour players, the way they tweet it out and on social media, it's a pretty good indication of how good a guy he is.
Well, his reputation in the golf industry is spectacular.
Yeah. So that's really, but it's nice to see good things happen to good people. But it's been a while. I mean, he's been threatening, but he finally got it done, and so good on him. All right, we're going to take a short break. We're going to we'll be back in 1 minute. More with On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, and we're back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to have in studio co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop, Woody Lashin. And on the line is Mizuno's Chris Voschel. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are y'all this morning?
We're doing fantastic. Wanted to start with, you know, you were at one point club engineer, and then you've since moved on to a new position. How is the new, you know, what is the new position? You've been in there for a little bit of time now. And how's it going at that new position?
Yeah, it's going great so far. So, yeah, my history is I was a club engineer for about 15 years with Mizuno, just doing a lot of the product development and design side. And about a year ago, I switched out of the, you know, the nuts and bolts of the engineering into more of the business side. So now I am the product and marketing manager, so really working closely with the R&D team still in terms of driving the direction of the product, in terms of what we're going to do with everything, what we're bringing to market, and the technologies behind those. So it's a great, fun new position.
You're sort of like the bridge between product and marketing, because sometimes how you market a product is kind of different than how you engineer a product, and to some degree?
You know, that's right. The fun thing that I've always loved and appreciated about Mizuno is that while, yes, I'm the bridge between marketing and product, really the engineering side is what drives the marketing side. So that's why I like it that, you know, instead of just putting a marketing guy intern in this position and saying, let the marketing guy drive the direction, they took a product guy, myself, as an engineer. So everything we do, all of our marketing, is pretty engineering and design development focused as opposed to just marketing focused, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
So the nice thing then you're telling us is that the job is flowed very nice and evenly. You're not like going back to the engineer and go, guys, what are you doing here?
You're exactly right. I mean, I was always, as an engineer, you always hate it when the marketing guy comes in and is like, well, from the marketing side, we want this. So being able to drive that from the engineering side and let that be the nuts and bolts of what we do and why we do things, I think is what makes Mizuno products a little bit different.
You know, I've always gotten the feeling from Mizuno that that's what you know, they've always talked about that's what we're an engineering company. But you when you look at the products and you talk to the company, you get that same feel, and it's nice to see that it's smooth and going in that great direction.
I appreciate it.
A great direction for me. I'm not a big marketing fan.
I know. I've known you long enough. I know you don't like the marketing mumbo jumbo.
No, I don't want to talk to those guys.
Yeah. Woody, as you said, Woody's a nuts and bolts guy. I mean, that's
absolutely.
So speaking about marketing, I know you can't you can't use the name Brooks Koepka, but we can use it though.
Yeah, we can.
You know, that's another win with him using Mizuno irons. I don't know, you've talked about this a lot, but I think it's such a fascinating story that we should hear a little bit about it again. You know, you designed those irons specifically for him.
So it's a really cool story. It almost writes itself. Like it's too good to be true, where if you go back, I'm going to call it 6 years in Mizuno history, you know, we've always had our MP product line, which is very traditional, very clean, but also very focused at a narrow part of the market. And then we've had our JPX stuff that was, in general, a little bit more game improvement, you know, for the higher handicapper, longer distance. And those are the things that really sell, but there was no connection between that and the tour. So about 6 years ago, we decided, you know, what we need to do is work on getting JPX on tour. So if we're going to pay marketing or we're going to pay tour guys, you might as well have them speaking to what we're trying to sell. So we started designing an iron, the JPX 900 tour, really with a particular player in mind. And that player being someone who's young, someone who hits the ball a long way, someone who looks the part, aggressive, someone who happens to have won 4 majors recently. and it just so happened we designed those clubs like with him in mind. It ended up, as fate had it, you know, we didn't end up being able to sign him, and he went with another company. But that company has since stopped making hard goods. And he actually found the 900 Tour irons on his own and began playing them, ripped off 3 of his first majors with them, and then switched to the next generation, the 919 Tours, to win the 4th major. So it's really such a cool story of a product design with a player in mind, and the player not really even being aware of that, but finding that product and it working. So it was a really cool story.
Can you tell us a little bit, like, how often does Brooks replace in those irons? Like, is he wearing them out? I mean, you know, Mizuno is such great soft feeling golf clubs. I imagine he's wearing them out. Like, do you know how often he's replacing them? And like, how
many? He's a twice a year guy. He goes through 2 sets a year. One of the things he does is he really focuses, like, his practicing. He goes through, I think he hits the odd numbers. So he practices with his 9, 5, 7, and just wears those out a lot quicker.
Oh wow!
So it was actually really funny when he won his first major. He had just that week requested a new set of irons because he said his 7-iron was worn out. it happens that he goes through twice a year. And, you know, when we showed him the newer ones, the 919 Tours versus the 900, we had made the top line a little bit thinner. We had made it a little bit more squared off. Again, all things that appealed to his eye. So, you know, instead of getting the replacement 900 Tour, which we were ready to supply to him because, I mean, he had a track record with them, he said he was ready to try the new ones, and he went straight into them. So it was pretty cool.
How did you come up with the new iteration of them without having, you know, I know you designed them with him in mind.
Yep.
Did you continue that same philosophy, like what he might want in a newer generation?
We really did, where, you know, every time you're working on a club, and when it comes to market, there's always a couple things you know you can tweak by the time it gets to market.
Gotcha.
That you just run out of time on the development side.
Mm-hmm.
On the 900 tour, we always thought we could improve the feel a little bit. We thought we could get a little bit more blade-like. We thought we could centralize the center of gravity a bit more. It tended to be a bit towards the heel on the 900 tour. And we also thought the top line looked a little bit thick for what we wanted, so we wanted to thin that out. And those were the three steps that we made on these new ones. And when we told that story to him, I mean, that's three things he was looking for as well. So it was a natural transition.
But I would make a comment there, but that sounds really easy. Like,
right.
Oh, we just made a top line. Oh, we moved the center of gravity a little bit out of the heel.
Right.
Folks,
right.
That is not easy.
Well, and it's funny. You're right. Those sound like three independent things. But in golf club design, one thing affects the next thing, affects the next thing.
Sure.
Where it's funny, you know, I talked about the top line thickness and the feel. Those two things are really closely related, even though someone wouldn't think so. So by thinning out the top line, it's going to feel a little harsher. But what we wanted to do is make it feel softer, but thin the top line. So it takes a lot of different iterations and a lot of testing and a lot of, you know, work taken from theory to, you know, actual prototyping and testing and measuring to actually make that happen. So you're exactly right, Woody.
Yeah, I don't think the average person has any idea how much time and how hard it is to go and design a golf club and make it actually work.
But to that point, though, that's what's interesting about what Chris just said was you said, you know, how much time it takes, but you really don't have a whole lot of time when you're trying to get to rolling it out.
Yeah, when Mizuno has great long life cycles. They have
exactly
2 year life cycles. So, you know, they have more time than most when you're running 1 year life cycles.
It's amazing how often, even with our longer life cycles, we're having to work on the replacement of a club that's not out yet. So it's almost
right.
Like, how can I improve something that I have no feedback on from any consumers? It's a tricky line there. And, you know, if you're a company that has 1 year life cycle, that makes it even tougher.
Well, I'll send you my address. If you want to send them to me, it's fine. Like, I'll happily test them for you.
No lefties.
Oh, no lefties. No lefties.
Hey, we might have something for you. We might surprise you in a little bit. So just keep that in mind.
I will.
Keep
that all in right. mind. That excites me.
I'm sure you can't tell us anything about what I wouldn't want you to give away anything top secret, but
mm-hmm.
MP18 is coming to an end, and there's going to be something that's going to replace that. Did you work on that at all when you were still with the engineering department, or is that kind of all been done since you moved to your new position?
It's funny, you're hitting on a touchy subject from my side, because
that's what we do here. We have the hard hitting questions here on Par. All right,
the 919 line was the last one that was really my hands on working on these clubs. So the next iteration is coming out. You're right, the MP18 was a set of four sets of clubs that really were part of, you know, my babies. Mm-hmm. And then, but as those are getting retired, the next generation is something that I wasn't one of the key engineers on. But at the same time, in my new position, what's really nice is, you know, we have sit downs almost daily of, you know, here's the direction we're taking them. Here's the look. Here's the feel. Here are the numbers we're trying to generate. So while they're not my direct, you know, engineering projects, I still take a little bit of ownership on them, but less so than those of the past.
I want to go ahead.
We're throwing a softball question now, because that was a hard question. I'm sorry, Chris, and I had to talk.
No, that's okay.
You guys have had a new driver this year, the ST190.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about it, how it's been doing. You know, how you came up with that.
Absolutely. So it's funny. You know, Mizuno has, for right or wrong, we've always been viewed as just an iron company. I say always, but especially the last, call it 10, 15 years, it's people look at Mizuno irons and almost ignore the rest of our product line. And that's something that we've kind of taken a little bit of offense to, just because we've been working on a lot of good stuff on the driver side for years and years. What we've done, though, is a little bit probably to lose the consumer trust. You know, if you look at some of our drivers over the past, call it 10 years, one year's driver is a lot different than the next year's, and we were alternating between MPs and JPXs and MXs, and we didn't have a lot of brand consistency. So last year, we started with the ST180 and GT180, trying to create a new driver platform of technologies that we can continue to build upon. This year's with the ST190, we're bringing a lot of cool technologies, our SP700 face material, our Cortec design, the composite crown, our Wave technology sole, all of it, you know, on an adjustable chassis with the G driver and the non-adjustable with a standard ST190. Ultimately, just building upon a foundation to build trust for the consumer that our clubs are going to compete with anybody's out there. You know, we always like to push the limits for ball speeds, for MOI, for all those different things. So the ST190, one of the cool things about it is, you know, we decided we're going to push it more on tour as well. And with Keith Mitchell back at the Honda, we got our first win with the driver on tour in, I believe it's 19 years.
Wow.
And then we just got one last week on the web.com as well. So, you know, it's already taking a foothold, and we've got them involved. We got tour players involved in our next round of testing. So you're going to continue to see Mizuno evolve to be more than just an iron company.
We're going to we got to take a short break, but more with Chris Voschel from Mizuno. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it, Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Owning the latest and greatest golf equipment makes no difference if it's not fit perfectly for your game. At Mizuno, we create irons and woods for all skill level golfers, from our MP18 family, featuring three different models designed for the better player, to our JPX family, featuring three different models designed to give you distance and forgiveness. We have a model for everybody. Visit Pete's Golf Shop and get custom fit for a set of Mizunos today.
All right, we're back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony, he's Woody, and on the line is Mizuno, Mizuno's Chris Voschel. I was going to say, I want to say engineer now, and that, but now you get ready to...
I'll still take that title.
product and marketing guy at Mizuno. But, you know, I want to jump back. Woody touched upon it, and if you don't mind, I wanted to go back to the MP18 and the three mm-hmm. model mix and match. And I know you can't talk about the new stuff, but I was just curious, you were one of the first to do this, if not the first, mm-hmm. Which obviously took a lot of time and effort to coordinate how you just, you know, organize three different models to not have any oversized gapping problems or anything
yep.
like that. I was just curious what you learned, not necessarily what you're doing in the next iteration, but necessarily what did mm-hmm. you learn from the first round of this this experiment?
You know, it was a lot bigger undertaking than it originally looked like on paper. You know, that mm-hmm. whole concept of being able to create a family that mix and matches seamlessly, it seemed like something, okay, that's easy to do. Just make sure the specs line up and you're good to go. But there were a ton of different nuances in terms of how golf clubs are sold with custom versus stock, what stock shaft, what stock grip you pick in terms of what head weights you dial in, what are the lofts, the offsets, the top line thicknesses, the flows, the COR, all these different things that went into it. So the MP18 family with the three different sets, you know, if you pick any of them from the blade up to the MMC, and you mix and match when you pair up the lofts, all of the specs are going to flow perfectly. The head weight, the COR, the offset, the top line thickness, the sole width, all those things. So it was a tough thing to do, but we learned a lot in terms of with the next version, how can we take it a little bit further up into the handicap range? So the biggest challenge was to make sure that the flow works. It had to be a pretty narrow and focused set of clubs. So you can see there's a lot of overlap between like the MP18 SC and the MP18 MMC. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's sometimes a little bit of splitting hairs in terms of when you choose one over the other. Mm-hmm. So we learned a lot in terms of how to get the flow right. And now it's just trying to take it to the next level, looking at what we sell in custom, when fly highs are being fit in and long iron replacements. I know at Pete's Golf, I'm sure you guys put, you know, not too many three irons in the bag, and you put extra long irons that are going to be more forgiving on the top end. And it's basically how can we design sets that are going to flow better all the way from the top to the bottom.
You know, Chris, it's interesting how important that is. A real quick story. I played golf with a friend of mine a few years ago, and he was a really good player. He's using this old set of MP32s, and so he's hitting the golf ball, and he's just struggling with his 3 and 4 iron. And I look, every time he hits it at 3 or 4, and he hits a bad shot. And I look, and I forget what model Mizuno, but someone had convinced him to get a more forgiving club in his 3 and 4 iron, and. Mm-hmm. And so we're after golf, we're talking. It's like, yeah, just, you know, I said to him, well, you know, the center of gravity is not in the same place. I mean, if you're able to hit those MP32s, you can't be using those. You got to go back to your MP32, you know, 3 and 4. And he's like, really? And so I saw him again a few months later. He's like, Woody, I can't believe how much better I hit my MP32. I would think with technology that I would hit the more forgiving one better, but I can't. I'm like, well, because you can't find the center of the club face on a consistent basis. And, you know, he's a tremendous ball striker.
And that's exactly right. It's a huge point that a lot of people, you know, just overlook in terms of just the nuances from one club to the next. And that's where getting in with a fitter and helping you navigate everything is such an important thing to make sure you're striking the ball better.
You know, I can't tell anybody, let's do a blended set. I'm like, you don't want to do that. You're going, yeah, but I see their marketing. I'm like, well, they're marketing it as a blended set because you want it, but the reality is that's not going to work properly for you because the center of gravity is going to be in a totally different spot.
Mm-hmm. And you're exactly right, and that's where you got to make sure a set, if you're blending a set, make sure those sets are designed to be blended because there's a lot of nuances that go into that fitting to make sure that's actually going to work for you, to make sure those center gravities are in the right locations.
Well, that's why it's got to come from an engineering standpoint, not the marketing standpoint.
Absolutely.
well, Chris, thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate your, you know, diving into, doing a little bit of a deep dive into some of the new things that are coming out, even talking about some of the old things and how you come to market with some of these new products. It's fascinating to talk to you about it.
And it's always a pleasure.
Maybe we'll follow us up in a few months if there's something new coming out when he can talk about it.
Yes.
Let's do that. I'll go ahead and mark off some time on the calendar. I'm always there for it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chris. Have a great day.
Appreciate it. You too, guys.
All right. All right, that was Mizuno's Chris Voschal. Obviously, smart, very smart guy, and a pleasure to talk to. It's just sort of, I just find that kind of stuff interesting. I can't imagine all the permutations and you know, calculations that trying to organize and engineer a mixed match a set of clubs. Forget about just one set.
Most people can't, and Chris has a really unique skill set, right? Because he's that smart, geeky engineer that most of the time you can't talk to because they can't translate what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then he's got this amazing personality, his amazing ability to translate that into layman's terms so you and I can understand it.
Yeah.
It's very rare in the engineering field.
Yeah, and it's no knock against engineers or anything like that. But you know, most of them are very data-driven and sometimes can't sort of articulate in
the
way.
They're so much smarter than us, they can't talk to us.
Right. You know, they just don't communicate in the same way that maybe you and I might. And so not a lot of engineers have radio shows, let's put it that way. But, you know, Chris could have a radio
show.
Yeah,
sure could.
And that's the point. I want to move on to the 40th anniversary tournament. You know, just maybe for those who maybe haven't tuned in, just give me a little bit about it before we publicize it
Pete's Golf is celebrating 40 years in business.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, what a better way than to celebrate 40 years in business, which I think is a pretty big deal, especially in the golf industry, than to have a golf tournament. That was a great idea, but, you know, just having a golf tournament, having people come to show up, that would have been great, but I wanted to do something to give back.
Mm-hmm.
So as you know, my wife had a heart transplant 7 years ago.
Yep.
And she got that because there was an organ donor. And so we decide to make this. Well, it's a tournament. It's a handicap staple for a tournament. It's still a golf tournament. We're doing it to raise money for Live On New York, which is the New York chapter of Donate Life. And basically, their job is to inform and people and get more people to understand what organ donation is and, you know, how to sign up and get people to sign up to be organ donors, because people are dying every day because they an organ did not come in time to save their lives. And I understand, in order to get a heart transplant, someone has to have a tragedy. It's not there's no good things happening when you get that organ. And Live On New York does an amazing job in getting that word out. And so we're doing this July 29th, Wheatley Hills. You can go on our website and sign up for it, petesgolf.com. It's right there. Just trying to do something. And we're going to have some really cool prizes. I already got some really good silent auction items.
Nice.
Some amazing golf courses that you can play, that you can't play, but you can play. We'll be going to start announcing those in July, and we're actually probably going to do a little something in the store where you can bid on them. Again, all going to raise money for Live On New York.
I like the idea of a Stableford, or where so a lot of guys, they do outings or whatnot, and you can't, you know, and they want to use the round for their handicap, but they can't because it's a scramble or a shamble or whatever. But you've designed it with, I always joke that, and I always thought that Pete's Golf's tagline should be for the serious golfer. But this tournament, even though it has a lot of heart in it, no pun intended, but you're designing it for the serious golfer too, so that you can use your round by using the Stableford format.
Yep, exactly. I mean, and that way takes the big number out, right? So you're going to make a triple bogey.
Right.
Don't worry about it, right?
Right, exactly.
So you can still have fun. Get to play your own ball. I think that's huge. It's limited in scope so that there's not going to be too many players out there and it'll take forever to play. We're limited to 100 players, so, you know, we got that covered. It should be a great day.
Yeah, oh, it's going to be an awesome day. And Wheatley Hills, I mean, Devereaux Emmett, I mean, it's beautiful. Ian Andrew, who's done a little bit of renovation there, was on the show a couple weeks ago. So he's done some work there. It's a beautiful golf course. It's a lot of fun. So go to petesgolf.com. Want to talk a little bit about the Long Island Am, Russ Owie, Prescott Butler, two guys that you're very familiar with. You see them quite often.
Yeah, I mean, Prescott Butler is a name that you're going to hear from. Mm-hmm. He's, I think, 19 years old now. Special talent. He won, folks. He kind of destroyed Russ in the finals.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, hats off to Russ. He's here's a guy in, you know, his up in years and, you know, walking 36 holes a day. And
he's got a full-time job. I mean, we had Jonathan Jeter.
And
on
he's beaten some of the young guys. Very impressive.
Yeah,
very
impressive. You know, people forget. I mean, I had, like, Jonathan Jeter on a couple weeks ago, Nassau Players Club, and Russ is a Nassau Players Club, and it's, you know, he's not a professional amateur like a lot of young kids. Not that Prescott is at this point, but he's a young kid who's got time to practice. Russ has got to put got a real job and a paycheck to
And he's lefty, so you have to love him.
Russ is a lefty? I didn't know that.
But listen, Prescott, I'm telling you, watch that name, folks. He's got a lot of talent. I think you're gonna continue to see that name. I've worked with him for a long time. He's a great, great kid. Great win for him. You know, that's, you got to start winning. Michelle Wee never learned how to win. Got to learn how to win, right?
Yep.
So great to see him winning. I think you'll see his name a lot this summer, I suspect.
What? How much fun is it to work with? With kids like that, real quick.
Yeah. Oh, it's working with young players that are, you know, you can see the talent coming and they're, you know, just getting better and better and better. It's
got to be rewarding.
Oh, spectacular.
Well, always rewarding to have you in studio. Appreciate your time and look forward to seeing you soon.
Now, thanks, my friend.
All right. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia, folks. Have a great weekend.